Yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Jeff, a.k.a. Blacksmith. I forgot my name. Jumping off once again on the Jump Off on our first ever Coast to Coast
three time zone show.
Yeah, three different time zone show.
I was going to say, this is the first time that all three members were on every part of the country here.
Yeah, you know, I messed up. I don't remember what my sign-on name was, my jump-off name.
Wow. Blacksmith,
a.k.a. Sandboy.
Damn.
Nah, I'm just playing. But yeah, so we in three different time zones right now. Yours truly, Blacksmith, is live and direct in the via the lovely South Beach, Miami on Ocean Drive.
Hey, I'm that dude named Dave, and I'm staying at the world famous Venetian Hotel and Resort here in Viva Las Vegas.
Viva!
Turn up!
And I am JD, and I'm at my crib in Moline, Illinois.
In the Midwest in Iowa. Shout out to Iowa. Stand up, cornfields. Turn up.
Moline, Illinois. Fuck y'all.
Said, I am JD, and I am at my crib in Moline.
Right. I ain't on shit.
Hey, man. You could be on something out there.
Yes, you can. You know, there's corn. You can get the corn shucking going on there, you know. I know you guys got that bootleg moonshine alcohol. Y'all got a lot of shit to do.
Hey, you
know
what's really funny? Go to work. That's what I'm about to do.
You know what's really funny, Dave?
Yes.
One thing I've noticed recently, out where we live at, Dave, there's tons of cornfields in Aurora, Montgomery, Yorkville, Oswego. There's a lot of corn out there, Dave. Like, literally,
but you know what, though?
10 minutes from where we're at.
Hey, but you know what, though? The cornfields that are by my house are getting tore up because they're building houses now. So no more cornfields. Turn up!
But I'm just saying, man, like, there's a lot of corn out there, dog. Like,
the corn is gone now. They're chopping down. No more grass, and they got dirt now putting the houses up. Turn up!
I'm not talking about right next to your crib. I'm talking about 10 minutes away, man.
Oh, I don't see those cornfields. That's maybe where you at, not where I'm at.
Yeah, I live literally across the street from hometown. There's cornfields. Like, so I can't even really talk like that.
I ain't seen the cornfields when I came to your house, man, so I don't know what you're talking about. Turn up! Okay. I'm sorry, people.
Okay.
Hey, I'm just excited right now, people, because I'm here in Vegas. This is I've been out here for a day now, and Vegas is off the chain right now. I mean, the atmosphere is live. As we speak in here, I'm here. It's Thursday. We're recording the show. I'm going to the Fox Sports Net, you know, boxing card at the MGM Grand Garden here. We're going to have a rematch with Portals fighting tonight, and Badu Jack, who is a Mayweather protege, undefeated junior middleweight, is fighting. I'm 12th row, so I don't know when JD's going to post this, but Fox Sports that always replays their boxing cards. So check your local listings. Look for the 12th row. You're going to see that dude in a red Calvin Klein plaid shirt on.
A red Calvin Klein plaid shirt.
That's right.
Rewind real quick. You said that cat name is Badu Jack that's fighting?
Yeah.
Any relation to Erica?
Nah. No relation to Erica.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so check your local listings for Fox Sports 1. You know, it's a Golden Boy Productions, maybe with the promotions fight card going on. It's going to be live tonight, Thursday night, at the MGM Grand Garden. But I'm in the 12th row. It's going to be on TV. So look for me, that dude. I'll be there rooting on, getting it in. And, of course, you don't see me. You see pictures on the Facebook group page.
That's what's up, man. So, yeah, make sure you take a lot of pictures up there. So what you should do, because that's going to be the same. Is that going to be the same exact place where the main event is on Saturday?
Oh, they got a couple of different rooms to MGM, so this is having the main card at. So this is the smaller venue that they have inside the MGM Grand. MGM Grand is huge. This is one of their smaller rooms that they're putting the fight card on.
What I think you should do is, after the fight is over, you should sneak into the main MGM Grand area where they're going to have the big bout on Saturday and just kind of sleep in there until Saturday.
Since I got good seats to the fight tonight, I am guaranteed to weigh in tomorrow, which is going to be at the arena where Floyd and Canelo's fighting. So I'm going to be there tomorrow regardless.
Cool.
Turn up!
Well, just stay there, and then that way, Saturday.
I got to get my party and my book. But peak game, though, this is no how small world is real fast. I'm walking on the street with my pops. Me and my pops are out here spending some good quality time, you know, son-father type of thing, you know. And, you know, we came from downtown Vegas, Fremont Street, stand up, turn up, Vegas. You know. And then, you know, I'm walking, and I see my cat David Wells. Shout out to David Wells. I mean, we kicked it together back in the day. You know, we went on a group cruise, and me and him did Slum Village Kanye, and karaoke took second place, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm walking, he sees me, I see him, I'm like, nigga, I ain't seen you in 4 years. You know, so small world. Shout out to my man David Wells, you know. So he's out here too. I'm going to kick it with him after we get done with the show.
That's what's up, man.
How you doing in Miami?
Hey, man, everything is love out here in Miami. It's been super laid back. It's funny because I was really worried before we came here. I was looking at the weather. It's supposed to rain like every single day out here. And it has been raining, but those of you who are familiar with the Florida or Miami area, when it rains, it'll rain for about a half an hour, hour, and it'll just stop, and the sun will come right back out. So it hasn't been a situation like it is in Chicago where if it's rain showers, it's raining all fucking day. You know what I'm saying?
That's funny because as soon as we touched down and we missed the rain in Chicago, I felt it was hailing, it was crazy mad, it was rain in Chicago. Mm-hmm. As soon as I got on the bus to get to the Venetian here, it starts pouring, there's puddles, it looked like a monsoon. So I was texting people, see me on Facebook, it was freaking raining out here, dark and gloomy as ever. This morning, the same thing. And then just as we hit the record button, the sun is out.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy too because when we touched down and we got to our condo we're staying in on Ocean Drive. We were walking into the condo. Well, when we pulled up, it was pouring down raining. So we got totally soaked walking into our condo, like totally soaked, bag soaked and everything.
Oh, man.
You know, got in the room. It was good. But we weren't that pissed because we were like, well, fuck it. We in Miami. So we still turned up.
It's better to be drenched up in Miami than drenched up in Aurora.
Yeah, I'd rather be wet in Florida than wet in Aurora. Either way, it's wet. I'm wet. tips and all.
But I'll say long tips wet doesn't matter, though.
Yeah, tips wet. You know, it don't matter where you're at.
JD.
I'm in Moline.
You're in Moline, but shout out to JD, though. You are doing a documentary series following what fighter now?
Rob Montoya from Bellator, Bellator MMA, man.
That's what's up. JD's doing big things with his MMA side hustle here. You know, he's doing the commentating. He was in Wisconsin about Twisco, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm in Milwaukee for UFC 164, man.
How'd that go, JD? How was that? Making major moves or kicking makeup, man?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I can't really even explain how cool it was and how much access we had. Like, we were able to... Like, nobody else was doing the stuff that we were doing. Like, nobody else was there getting interviews from fighters, and nobody else was, you know, sending out tweets, Kate's side. Like, I mean, we were just doing so much stuff, and sometimes I look back, and I don't even know how we were able to do some of it, because, you know, some of the people, one of the most memorable parts was we were setting up to do we wanted to do a live show from the weigh-in spot, and... right after they finished the weigh-ins, we started setting up our stuff because we were real cool with the guy who runs all the UFC's public relations. So he was like, yeah, you guys do whatever you want. You know, you're just as important as anybody else. So we went and we're setting up and stuff. And, like, the people from the HBC or whatever the name of the arena is, they wanted to start tearing down the weigh-in part and start setting up for the event the next day. And they were kind of pissed that we were there taking up their time. So, but you know, we kind of made them wait. And one of the guys was getting all pissy and saying how they had a non-Fox affiliated show recording right now, so we can't do shit. That's a quote. You know, we were kind of setting them back, but we had our permission, so we were going to do whatever the fuck we wanted to do. But yeah, it was an awesome event, man. Like, it's real cool. If anybody wants to check it out, go to kickandmakeup.com. And you'll be able to check that out, too.
So let me get this straight, JD. So you're taking advantage of the situation that you guys have with the show, and of course, being affiliated with the MMA and Bellator, yep. While everybody else who was there are just using their free guest passes and their sponsors and their vouchers, basically, just to hang out and have a good time while you guys are putting out work and making use of your credentials.
Yeah, man, correct? Big time. It was. I was shocked that nobody was on the grind like we were. Like, nobody, no one else. Like, there were people, of course, from newspapers and TV and stuff, and, you know, the Fox people were doing their stuff because they had to. But as far as somebody, you know, sort of being independent or, you know, just out there trying to get people, there was, like, one other group of people that were, like, you know, getting some people for interviews. But, man, that was it. Like, nobody else was – nobody was out there trying to work it. Yeah, so it was an awesome event, man. Tons of content, really took advantage of the 2 days that we spent in Milwaukee.
That's what's up, because the cast at Fox, they got a job to do because that's a TV network. But everybody else is using their credentials just to hang out and act like they're big time. You being big time and getting in that work.
Oh, yeah, and big shout out to new champ Anthony Pettis for letting us kick it with him that night, man. you know, I'm sure he's not listening, but if he was, big shout out.
That's what's up, man.
Hey.
Real talk. Well, yeah, like I said before, bro, I'm very proud of you for doing that. So keep grinding with that, because like you said, I remember you telling me before, a couple years ago, there was not a niche out there, and y'all took that niche.
Yep.
Blowing it up. That's what's up.
Appreciate it, guys.
No doubt. So I have a question for Dave.
Yes, sir.
From the perspective of this big fight, because here in South Beach, nobody's talking about the fight. Lily and I are very excited about it, but ain't nobody talking about no type of fight on Saturday. You know, the Cubans, you know, I don't even know who the Cubans are going to be rooting for, because they don't consider themselves Hispanic anyway, so, and they damn sure don't consider themselves black, so I don't know what's going on with that out here, but nonetheless.
They indie.
Right, they indie. They root for the refs.
Yeah.
but we're going to go watch it at the movie theater out here on Saturday night, so that should be pretty dope. But what's the pulse out there, you know, in Vegas? No, you just got there, but how is it? How's the atmosphere compared to when we were there last year for the Mayweather-Cotto weekend?
It's a lot different from Mayweather-Cotto. I mean, Cotto is a future Hall of Famer. We all know that. I mean, 3-division champion. His resume speaks for itself, type of fighter he is. But Canelo transcends because of how the Mexican population, the Mexican heritage, basically maintains boxing. The whole country as a whole is boxing number one. Now, boxing and soccer are like 1A and 1B. I mean, when I was at the airport at O'Hare, people were talking about the fight because, you know, you're going to a flight to, you know, to Vegas. People are going there to kick it to the fight. And as soon as I'm getting to the line before a security check, people are talking about it. I'm on the plane. People are talking about it. People are lying. This one dude in the plane, I didn't get his name. Somebody, yeah, I remember Mayweather 10 years ago. He had a West Coast accent. You know, I was like, yeah, I used to hang out with him. You mad cool. I'm like, nigga, stop lying. You ain't know the damn Mayweather 10 years ago, nigga. He didn't move to Vegas 10 years ago. He was still in Michigan till he relocated to Vegas a little bit after that, till he won his first championship belt. You know, a little bit after that. So this dude talking about, yeah, I knew Mayweather. Man, you didn't know no damn Mayweather. Talking about you worked at a cellular phone store. Man, please. Anyways, I had to get that.
Come on, son.
Come on, son. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. You know, they were, you know, but getting in here, you know, you can feel the atmosphere. Like, it's so different. Like, you can hear people just walk down the street talking about Mayweather. Like, when we were out here, you know, you see the little vendors selling the T-shirts. You see that. But you hear people talking. You can see people talking about it. You know, it's like, yeah, did you hear about this fight? Like, people say, I don't know about, you know, it's Canelo. You know, you hear a lot about that, you know, because, you know, how bigger Canelo will be at fight time, you know. And then, of course, when fight week happens, it normally hits the fan on a Friday. Like, you see all the excitement at the MGM Grand. It was jumping off before I got here on Tuesday. They had the red carpet. Everybody walked in from Canelo to Floyd to Lucas Matisse and Danny Garcia, who were the co-main event. You saw Ishae Smith, who's also on the card too as well, who's one of the main players. You know, I mean, they had the red carpet. Every single reporter who's supposed to be out here, normally don't get here. It's like Thursday or Friday. They be here on Sunday or Monday.
Wow.
You know, and so, like, you're on the strip. You can just... It's a whole different vibe. You can feel it in the air. So it's going to get even more live tonight when I go to the MGM, you know, to see the pre-event. You know, this is the extra card they threw on there. You go to this fight, of course, you get tickets to the weigh-in. And the difference about this weigh-in, people, is that normally they only open up about a quarter or half the MGM Grand. This time around, this is the first time the MGM is opening the entire arena for the weigh-in, not for any Tyson fight, because Tyson put the MGM on the map by having that exclusive deal when he got out of jail back in 95. But never for a weigh-in, for any major card, because you know MGM's like the mecca when it comes to boxing as the arena, no matter where you're at, overseas, whatever. They have never opened up the entire garden for a weigh-in. That tells you how it is, that's how big this is going to be.
That's crazy, man. That is crazy.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to see tonight's card. It's a smaller card, of course, you know, but still, you know, you add an extra boxing, you know, fight because of this here. And like, I have a lot of respect for Dan Rayfield, ESPN writer. He was on First Take today. He called out Skip Bayless, and Skip Bayless gonna try to retract something he made a mistake about. But everybody saw that and called him out. But you know, they're talking about boxing is dead. You know, everybody want to say that, like a party interruption with Kornheiser and Michael. Just because they don't watch boxing, they only know about a few fighters and claim boxing is dead. If boxing is dead, people, why is it that the whole world is watching this one fight? Even if it's just this one fight, a sporting event can't be dead if everybody want to watch this one fight.
Yeah.
You know? if you see like the Klitschko brothers, you know what I mean? They're not known in the United States, but in Europe, they sell out 40 and 50,000, you know, stadiums that fit that holds that much to see them fight bums. Because, you know, the heavyweight division is very watered down and they've beaten everybody. But the fact that people, 40 to 50,000 people will go see them fight bums. You know, I mean, we're seeing this could possibly break the pay-per-view revenue this weekend. We have other fights like Adrian Broner, who was setting, you know, for his young age, major ratings on Showtime and before on HBO. You know, Showtime has bumped their budget. They have a bigger budget than HBO. HBO now spends probably roughly like $20 to $25 million a year on boxing programming alone. Showtime is roughly between $30 to $40 million on boxing programming for 1 year. So for people to say boxing is dead, how is boxing dead when the cable outlets are spending that much money because they realize what the people who are paying for those subscriptions want to watch?
It's really interesting to me because it seems like boxing is just, it's just really a totally different animal because it kind of, whenever there's a fight, it kind of just creeps up on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know we keep track of everything, but like to the average person, they're being inundated now, obviously, with the you know, the commercials and stuff like that for the fight. But I think that people, some may think it's dead because you just don't see as many advertisements as in commercials as you do for, like, you know, football or basketball or even sometimes with the UFC stuff. So that may be the reason why they think it's dead because they don't use the same channels. You know what I'm saying?
It's a niche sport, you can say. But here's the good thing that Dan Raphael said today. David Beckham retired from soccer. He is the biggest name in soccer, you can say. There's Landon Donovan, you know, people know about him from America. But David Beckham was the face of soccer, not only in the United States, but worldwide, right? So when he retired, does people say that soccer's dead? No. People still go to soccer matches, and you see him over in Europe and South America, how big it was. I mean, you look at the World Cup when the USA beat Mexico a few days ago. Everybody named Mama was talking about the qualifiers, not the World Cup, the qualifiers. But David Beckham's not involved,
right?
You know, but boxing is a worldwide sport. And we as Americans, we want to have this elitist status that if we don't know about it, it's not going down, which is not the truth. I mean, football is king in America. Football is a $9 billion a year industry, and we know that. Football is great. But if you go to Europe, they're not checking for football. They're checking for football soccer. And then they call that American football, but you can easily go to Europe and they can easily say football is dead if you want to make that same analogy. But just because it's big in one country doesn't mean that it's dead. It's a worldwide sport, and everybody from South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, you know, and of course you got a lot of big time names now in the United States, you know, we see the lower weight classes are doing their thing. Doesn't mean it's dead. It's just because you're not checking for it because you don't watch it or you don't pay for Showtime or HBO because it's not on network TV. But just because you don't pay for it doesn't mean it's dead. Just because the fact you don't check for it. Hell, there's a lot like one singer, Demi Lovato. I don't check for her, but she's a big-ass musical worldwide artist. Doesn't mean that she ain't got no fans and she making millions. She doing her thing. Just because I don't check for her doesn't mean she ain't doing nothing, you know?
That's what's up, man. I agree. JD, out there where you at, I know you said you're doing a fight party on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm inviting some people over to my crib. One thing that I can say about boxing that, you know, even compared to the UFC, like I haven't seen a UFC event in Las Vegas yet, but, you know, that's definitely on my list to go check out one of those. But when you have a big premier boxing event, it gets people talking like no other sporting event, I would say, besides the Super Bowl. Like there's so many people that, you know, from my job on Facebook, just friends. You know, everybody is talking about, what are you going to be doing Saturday night for the fight? What's going on at your house? Are you going over here? Are you going to be over there? Like, it's one of those events that everybody has to be a part of in some way. So it really transcends all sorts of different sports with the amount of hype and the amount of buzz that's going on. And that's, you know, that's even just out here in, you know, Moline. So I can only imagine how it is in the bigger cities, let alone how it is in Vegas, man. I'm really envious of Dave right now to be hanging out in Vegas, man. And like you were saying, with the tickets for the sort of pre undercard fights and stuff that you're going to tonight, man, that's incredible. And they're only doing that because this is such a big and marketable event. So, man, big up to boxing. I wish somehow, some way they could unify things a little bit more so that we can continue to get these super fights. I think that's one sort of lesson they could learn a little bit from the UFC, but if they could somehow combine, you know, and cut down a little bit of the confusion between the different belts and the different organizations, it would be great. But, man, I'm really excited for this fight on Saturday. You know, I don't, are we doing predictions yet?
Yeah, in a second here. Real fast, though, Jay, send yourself that here. You're both ways. You, no, DSI.
Yeah, yeah. I'm bisportual.
You're bisportual. You know, you do the MMA thing. You're doing the commentary, kicking makeup, doing big things. And you're a big box fan like the three of us here in the Jump Off right now. Can I just say this to all of your UFC fans?
Yes.
Stop trying to compare UFC to boxing and think that UFC is going to take over boxing. Everybody has their own lane. UFC has their lane, and they're doing good. And boxing has its own lane, which has been going on since the beginning of time, because everybody's been fighting and putting the gloves on and doing their own thing. But I hate it when people say UFC is gonna take over boxing. Stop it. You got your lane. Boxing got its own lane, and they both making money. But let me say this though. The top guy in UFC, Bones Jones, who fought recently, and what's his name? And Silva just fought about a few months ago, who lost.
Yep.
He's arguably the one number one or number two UFC guy as far as popularity. Overall, right? Jones and Silva.
Yep.
Silva made $600,000 for his pay-per-view. Canelo on his, I mean, not, let me think of that, not even Canelo. Danny Garcia on the co-main event is making $1.5 million.
Wow.
Lucas Matisse is making $800,000. And if you're not a hardcore boxer, you know who the hell Lucas Matisse is. So let's put it out there right now. If guys who are not even champions and not even the face of boxing are making more than the number one, number two guy in UFC, you're not taking it over. You got your own lane. And I'm not even dissing UFC. You got your own lane. It's cool. It's great. Take your lane. But you're not taking over boxing and vice versa. People got the things. Like, you can't say that baseball is dead and you're going to take over football, vice versa. You got your own lane, so I hate it for those people to say, oh, we're going to take over boxing. No, you're not. Your top guy's making $600,000. You got a guy in the undercard making $800,000. Explain that to me. Riddle me this. You know? I have to say that out there, JD. And you being an MMA guy, you being a commentator, you have to respect where I'm coming from here. It's got its own niche, but it's not taking over. They're two separate sports that are making money and doing their own thing.
Yep, completely. And that's something that, you know, I was originally a boxing fan, and I was one of those guys that said UFC is never going to, you know, sort of come in and take money from boxing. I don't think that they are taking money from boxing. I don't think that there is any sort of competition. Those dollars are there. People want to spend money on entertainment. And whether
it's
boxing, whether that's movies, whether that's MMA, whatever
around.
It is. Like, it's... entertainment is recession-proof.
You made the point, JD, exactly. People who have the money want to laugh and have a good time, and what it is, they want to go watch UFC people get pummeled to the ground and get knocked the fuck out of a kick. That's their niche. If you want to see the sweet science and see Floyd Mayweather, which is kind of funny how he transcends.
The sweet science.
Hey, boxing's been known for the sweet science for hundreds of years. But it's funny how Floyd has transcended boxing. He's not a knockout artist. You know, he's 44-0 with 26 knockouts, but since he moved up to welterweight, his knockout percentage has dropped big time. But the fact that you know he's going 12 rounds and people still want to see him, and he's getting a record payday in sports history, $41.5 million guaranteed, and that is before the pay-per-view revenue. We're not talking about the fact that he gets a 70-30 split from Golden Boy and Mayweather Promotions from 160 countries who paying for the fight, and then the MGM Grand pay him a fee, and then of course we got the other television rights in the United States, and then there's so much revenue going around like that. So there's both sides got their own thing going, but it's not taking over. It's entertainment, like you said, JD. They're doing their thing. Box doing their thing. Can't they just coexist together? That's all I gotta say.
Yep, yeah, I completely agree. They can.
Before we get into predictions, I want to tell y'all something funny that happened to me last night. So there's a really, really nice spot on Ocean Drive called Mango's. It's a like a tropical club and restaurant or whatever the case may be. So they have a Michael Jackson impersonator that's there every day, every night, like every hour on hour he performs. So he was performing last night, so I recorded him and everything, and I uploaded the video to Facebook. How the hell did, and I don't even think I tagged the video, I just uploaded the video. On Facebook, the video was removed for copyright infringement.
Wow! That fast?
Yes. I literally got an email from Facebook 10 minutes after I uploaded the video.
Did you put like Michael Jackson in it or anything?
No, I didn't even I just upload the video. I didn't even put a name.
Wow, that's you know what that you
that's
know what
the first that got the game all locked.
Hey, yeah.
You know what that tells me?
What's that?
That your profile is a little bit bigger than you want to believe.
That's there crazy. You go, Jeff. The jump off is blowing up.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild because I've never seen that happen before.
Yeah, I didn't even tag like saying I was at. I tagged and said me and Lily were at Mongo's, just a regular tag. But when I didn't tag the video saying that was a location. I just uploaded it.
Wow, the jump off blowing up. They watching this now, man. They're like the big brother now. They're seeing
yeah,
what,
real talk. They said take that shit down. I'm like, wow. I was gonna try to do it again tonight and see what happens, but I don't
know. Yeah, hey Jeff, redo it again. Retag it as something else and see what happens.
I'll do it and tag it as Aurora.
Yeah, like Aurora on videos. Aurora Girls Gone Wild or something.
This is hilarious. But yeah, and one more thing before we get into the predictions. So Oscar De La Hoya checked himself into rehab, and he will miss the fight. It's huge, man.
Yeah, 2 days ago, that was really interesting. This is the second time he's going to rehab. He has known abuse with cocaine and alcohol, but the fact that he checked himself in now, which means that he must have been fell off the wagon. It must have been bad enough for him that he probably had some close people tell him, yo, man, you can't do this, and he went ahead and checked himself in.
And I'm wondering, like, it must have been really bad for him not to wait till like Sunday morning to check himself in. You know what I'm saying? Like, he must have, the only thing I can think of is that if Canelo would have won on Saturday night, he might have did like a binge of coke and just killed himself or something like that. He may have been trying to prevent, you know, that from happening.
Or, like, why not just,
or if he lost.
But this ain't like, the first time he's done this, though. This ain't the first time. When he checked himself in the rehab the first time is when Bernard Hopkins was fighting Fight Weekend when he set the record for being the oldest person in, you know, professional fighting history to win a world title a couple years ago. So this ain't the first time that in a major event, like, you know, something's happening that he was promoting, he checked himself in the rehab. So this is something that he probably recognized as a trigger. He knows that, hey, I might fall off the wagon. This may be it for me. Let me go ahead and do this thing here.
Well, big ups to him because it takes a strong man, especially in that industry, to prioritize himself over the main events like that. So, you know what I'm saying? Because he could easily put it off a couple of days.
And let me say this too. It may explain the fact why he's talking so freaking reckless that he got this blueprint of being Mayweather, saying that I got the blueprint, you know, but I just couldn't execute. And he keep giving this blueprint to everybody, and everybody keep getting their ass whipped, and everybody keep losing.
Right.
So, I mean, I think he was high off that coke when he keep talking about this damn blueprint on TV.
He was off that Molly.
Yeah, he was popping Mollies and drinking champagne and campaigning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so on to predictions. I'll go first, I guess.
Go right ahead.
So, I for one, I mean, I haven't seen every single Mayweather fight like Dave has, but I think this is probably going to be top two, top three most challenging fights of Mayweather's career. I do think Mayweather will prevail via decision, and I think it would be a split decision, with, of course, Mayweather getting two judges and Canelo getting one judge. And that's about it. Split decision, Mayweather. Rematching Cinco de Mayo weekend next year.
Oh, my God.
And what I'm actually kind of hoping for is Canelo knocks Mayweather down for the first time in his career.
Well, he's been technically down already one time, but it was a bogus call.
It was a slip, right?
It wasn't really a true knockdown, but the referee's count is, I think it was back in 2000, 2001. So if you look at the records, he technically does have a knockdown, but it wasn't like a legit one where someone got to him and he was like dazed. So for purposes that people may say, you know, he has been down, but not a legitimate knockdown. So people who's listening, just like, oh, you remember? No, he hasn't. It was just a bogus call by the ref.
Okay, so yeah, first legitimate knockdown. I think that would be enough for people to be like, oh my God, I got to fight again, just for that reason alone. So that's my prediction.
Man, I was gonna say I can go second. Dave, you definitely got to go last. everything in me is telling me to, like, you know, be controversial, get a vote for an upset, but no, it's gonna be the usual Mayweather fight. I won't say that it'll be boring. I think that Alvarez is going to be able to get to Mayweather a few times and put him in a little bit of danger, but it's not going to be, I think it's just going to be it's going to be a unanimous decision. I'm going to say it's going to be a unanimous decision, and I think that the win is going to go to Money Mayweather. I think that he will be in danger, though, and it will make people want to see a second fight from these two guys. And like you said, if it's Cinco de Mayo next year, can we start saving up for the excursion now? Because
Okay, I like that. I like you two guys here. I guess I'll go last here. I'm gonna go do the complete rundown here. On the first televised, fight, I'm going for Pablo Canelo to get the win here. I know that this is the first fight, and I forgot the Mayweather's fighter, his name was fighting, but I like the fact that Canelo's aggressive. He lost to Shane Mosley recently, but I think he's gonna pull this one out. I don't think that Mayweather's fighter is gonna go ahead and with the big lights, even though it's on an undercard, is gonna win. I haven't seen much of him, but that's what I'm going with Canelo here. Second fight, Ishae Smith is also a Mayweather fighter. He's fighting Chicago's own Carlos Molina. I think this fight was supposed to happen a few months ago, but Ishae hurt his hand, and so they rescheduled it, and of course, being a Mayweather fighter, put him on the other card. I think the fact that by him winning his first title, and he has a great story. If you just go ahead and Google Ishae Smith, I actually was crying when he won the title like 8 months ago. I mean, if you heard his interview, you couldn't help but shed a few tears for the brother. So shout out to him. I think he's going to pull a 12-round decision. It's going to be the boring fight of the four cards here. So I'm going for Ishae Smith, 12-round decision. Lucas Matisse, Danny Garcia, that's going to be the fireworks here. That's the co-main event. The winner of this fight is going to be the person that may be in line to fight Mayweather in the future because they'll be a top dog at 140. Nothing left to prove to move to 147. I like Danny Garcia. That's my man, 50 grand. But I think I'm going to go with Lucas Matisse with a ninth-round stoppage. I'm calling that right now. Ninth-round stoppage, basically, because Danny Garcia can take a punch, but it doesn't matter what hand that Matisse uses. He just thuds. When he hits you, even if it's not a clean shot, it thuds. So I'm going with Lucas Matisse. And then the main event. I think the fight's going to go the exact same way as when Floyd Mayweather fought Ricky Hatton. Canelo's going to be aggressive. He's going to try to smother him a little bit. He's going to try to slip punches and do things of that nature. I am going, because of the fact that Canelo's going to be aggressive, there's going to be a lot more openings for him. I'm going for the 10th round stop. It's just like when Floyd stopped Hatton for Floyd. But it will be close enough, even with the stoppage, that they will warrant for a Cinco de Mayo rematch. And then Independence Weekend next year, we're either going to have Floyd Mayweather. He's going to win the second time around because after the second time, you know, Floyd's just going to dismantle him, I think. Then next year, I'm already going to call that Floyd Mayweather at the MGM Grand this time next year would either fight Lucas Matisse or Amir Khan.
Wow.
I'm going a year ahead in advance here for predictions here.
Wow. Well,
yes, I've done my homework. Though I wouldn't be. Here's the thing about it, though, I would not be surprised if Canelo could put Floyd to the mat. But the one thing about Floyd the last 9 months is the fact that he has really showcasing how much he's been working out. You see videos, but this fight and the last fight, he's really been like every other week. He's been posting videos of him working out, staying in shape. I mean, he was at weight 3 weeks ago. He has to take days off training because he loses so much weight. How much great shape he was as of earlier, like. Last Friday, he weighed at 152.2 pounds. So I know he took a couple days off of working out so that he would be below 152. Canelo, just let everybody know, he was at 153 days ago. So I think he will make weight tomorrow at the weigh-in, you know. But I think that he will balloon up to 170, and I wouldn't be surprised if there is a knockdown. But just the way that Floyd's working out, he's just on a whole nother level in the animal. The fact that the other guys, like Awesome Trout's best opponent, is not going to present the same openings that Canelo's used to seeing, basically.
Great points, that dude. And we only got a couple more days to see what happens. I know everybody is hyped, and I'm excited too. We can go ahead and wrap up the show for now. I know JD got to get to where he's going. Is it right, JD?
Yeah, man. Got to go to work, you know. Yeah, no.
You go to work. I'm going to finish off the rest of this mimosa that I had for breakfast.
Yeah, I may head back over to the beach in a little while. So.
Man, fuck both of y'all. For real.
Mimosas in the strip and, all. Hey, before we get off the call here, me and my pops saw nothing but pros in the strip last night, literally. Pros everywhere. They had the outfits on. They had the tight dresses. They were getting it in, boy. I tell you, boy, you didn't see them at 9 o'clock. when it got 1 o'clock out here in the strip, boy, you saw more pros than you did tourists.
That's best big money weekend.
Yes, they try to get it in. They go in there and get on their knees, butt naked, please.
On that note, Jump Off Fans, we hope you've enjoyed our first Tri-Coastal show. And we'll at y'all next week. Peace.
Jump off.
Jump off. Look, what you want, pump, double clip, pump, ride, ride, slump, jump off, homie, jump off. All these haters on my, won't jump off. But all the streets need is, jump off, jump, jump off.